is really important. And here in chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul is concerned about their ignorance regarding spiritual gifts. A few weeks ago, I gave an introduction to this chapter. One of the things, when I'm with you, we're family. You know, I'm far more open with you than I am. When I go around to other groups, I'm a little bit more sophisticated. And I don't tell as many, say, but you're my friend, you're my family. And I tend to be more open with you. And I have a burden as I'm going through these sections, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, to make sure that I not only exegete the scriptures properly, giving you what the scriptures say and the difficulties or some of the original languages, but also share with you some of my experiences. I think the two go hand in hand. And I would like very much then to go through this and kind of take my time. I'll tell you what the game plan is. This week I intend to go from verses 4 to 11. And then next week I intend to go back to verses 4 to 11 and talk about the gifts. There are gifts mentioned in these verses. The gifts of wisdom and knowledge and faith and gifts of healings and gifts of other tongues and gifts of prophecy and discerning the Spirit. I'm going to bypass that this morning. And just talk about the principle in this chapter. The Apostle Paul is trying to clear up some ignorance about spiritual gifts. In chapter 12, he lays down a principle. Principles that carry through chapter 13 and 14. Chapter 14 is the correction of practices. But chapter 12 are the principles, the foundation thoughts we have to have about gifts. Let me suggest this, just as I did in chapter 11, because you see, in chapter 11, the principle of the creation order carries right through all of these chapters. And what Paul is giving now in chapter 12 are principles. He just wants to talk about certain basic things about gifts. And it's important to grasp that. I believe that what I plan to say this morning is so fundamental that if you miss this, if you miss what Paul is saying this morning, the basic principle, and move into the other chapters, there may be some confusion. And don't forget that while chapter 12 are correction of attitude, principles regarding our attitudes, in chapter 14 are correction of practices. Chapter 13 is absolutely essential. Because chapter 13 will show that not only do you have to have a gift, but you have to have life, you have to have growth, you have to have character. Gifts are not enough. And this is one of the things that Paul is trying to say. And if we never grasp this, then we may go on thinking because we have a gift, we are spiritual, we are consecrated, we are dedicated, and we are ready. So chapter 13 will be important. So I'm going to take my time and go through this and try to give you a proper exegesis of this as well as some of my experiences. The Apostle Paul then is concerned about their ignorance. Now their ignorance will be very easy to understand. They didn't understand how gifts came. They didn't understand the purpose of gifts. They seem to think gifts made them better than other people. And fundamentally, they forgot that gifts in spirituality are not synonymous. Now, I know I've said before, you can have a spiritual gift and be carnal. And some people squint, but it's true. Think. When you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit of God. And He comes in you and He gives you new life. But He also gives you abilities. But we're supposed to grow and develop godly character and the fruit of the Spirit. And so, gifts are not necessarily synonymous with living a spiritual life. And the Corinthians were confused about it. Therefore, because you were confused, they put other people down. They walked around with too much self-esteem that they should not have. They had pride. And they were dividing the Corinthian church, all because you're ignorant of gifts. So this morning, as I go into this, I think it's really important to understand what Paul is getting at. Many Christians face the problem of unknown potential. You just don't know what they're to do or what God wants them to do. And I'm not talking about being full-time like myself, the Plymouth Brethren clergy. I'm not talking, I know you don't like that, but there's some truth to that, trust me. Or missionaries. I'm talking about all believers understanding their potential. Paul said on the road to Damascus, God apprehended him for something. In Philippians, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of high calling that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended for. In other words, God grabbed a hold of me for something. And I want to press on so I can understand what he wants to do with me and through me. And so Paul's goal was to press on. God grabbed a hold of me. Well, some believers have the problem of unknown potential. They just may be ignorant of potential that they might have in spiritual gifts. And one of the reasons is because we exalt gifts, some gifts above the other. The Corinthians were exalting tongues. They were exalting emotional, showy gifts. And some people who did not have that might have felt that they were left out somewhere. Now, this is all by the way of background. So, it's important that people have some understanding about this unknown potential in their lives. Another thing is the Corinthians were comparing themselves with one another. We'll see that. And that was creating problems. When you start comparing yourself to somebody else in your gift or your service or the results of your service, it can create a problem. And then, of course, there are the problems of competition that apparently was taking place in the Corinthian church also. And sometimes gifts become competitive in subtle ways, but they become competitive. So there was a competition. And God wants me to know about spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts are basically the ability that is given to a Christian through the grace of God by the Holy Spirit to serve and to grow and to honor God. They come from the grace of God and are given by the Holy Spirit. And so as we look in this morning, we want to take the foundational truths here and look at them. So I said this last time now concerning spirituals. You notice the word gifts is in italics, but we take it whether it's spiritual things or spiritual men. Verse 4 defines it as diversities of gifts, which is the word charismatic. Anyway, I would not want you to be ignorant. Now, verses 2 and 3 are perplexing. It seems, when you read this, doesn't seem to fit in. Why verses 2 and 3, you know that when you were Gentiles, carried away of these dumb idols, however you were led, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now this is difficult. Because I'm not sure, and I don't mind saying this, I'm not sure what he's talking about. Was there somebody who came to the meeting? This happened. Was there somebody who came to the meeting who was an unbeliever, and when the people were getting up, this guy got up and says, Jesus, it's a curse, it's anathema. Well, I don't know. Many believers wouldn't be fooled by that. If somebody who is an enemy of the gospel would say, we certainly wouldn't think that person had the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was a Jewish neighbor. And I want to be careful so it doesn't sound anti-Semitic. But maybe it was a Jewish neighbor. You read in chapter 18, the assembly and the Jewish synagogue were right next to each other. The only thing that separated them was a wall. Now, we know about that sort of stuff in South America because the houses are all built together down a block. Now, maybe it was a Jewish person who said that. But that wouldn't confuse the believers either. I can't prove this, but I think in the meeting, someone who got carried away by the gift of tongues, someone who got carried away into that experience said something. And it turned out to be wrong. And one of the things Paul wants to say here is this, is that the work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. Now, Paul certainly isn't saying, is he, that if you stop a person on the street, just pick at random. Hey, do you believe Jesus Lord? Oh, yeah. Okay, now you're a believer. You got to, hey, great, huh? You believe Jesus Lord? Yeah. Hey, another believer. That's not what he's talking about. Not talking about throwing questions at people. And if they answer affirmative, well, hey, great. Somehow he's saying that the Holy Spirit will always lead to the glorification of Jesus Christ. And that means, as you and I become familiar with that, we learn how to look at the confession the person gives and look at the details that follow the confession. See? Now, this is rather interesting. Now, Paul said you were carried away. You were Gentiles. Just take that term Gentile to mean unbelievers. Years ago, they called them heathen. That's what the word they use them. But this category, they were just considered unbelievers. So when you were still unbelievers, you were carried away of these dumb idols wherever you were led. Now, he said you were carried away, led astray, carried away, and he said by dumb idols. By that, he said that the idols can't hear, they can't talk, they can't think, right? They're dumb. But in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, verses 20 and 21, Paul implied very carefully and clearly that behind some of these idols are demonic activities. And so therefore, while the people were involved in their worship in the temple there, they were being led astray, all right, by these dumb idols, probably demons behind them, and they, however you were led, means they were captives. Now, many of these mystic religions and these other religions had experiences of power and emotion. This isn't just something made up. And many of them had this, these mystery religions, all right? And they were led about by these. It may often mean being led about is that they became under an emotional spell. It's not unusual to read, as you read archaeology and other things, that in some of these, the people actually got carried away. They believed that to lose your senses, to empty yourself and be moved away, was to identify you with deity. To identify you with deity so that deity became one with you. And my suggestion here is that Paul is not just saying, when you were Gentiles, some teachers led you astray. But rather, they knew something of this. And they were led astray. Say, Satan has counterfeits. And so the Apostle Paul talks about the early time. They were led astray. They didn't know what they were doing. Somebody in the meeting said Jesus was accursed. And Paul is simply saying that the Holy Spirit always glorified Jesus Christ as Lord. That's the first confession of Scripture. Paul brings this out. The earliest confessions are found in Romans 10:9. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. He's talking here about the details of life. The Holy Spirit will not only cause you to speak that Jesus is Lord, but it will produce Jesus as Lord in your life. The Holy Spirit is the one working in you, in details of your life, that Jesus may be Lord. So, this is important. The Holy Spirit exalting the person of Jesus Christ. And remember, as I said, power and gifts can be counterfeited by Satan. In Acts chapter 16, remember Acts chapter 16, Paul was in Philippi. And while he was in Philippi speaking, a girl started to follow him around. And this girl was a slave girl, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us and brought her masters much profit by fortune tellers. Everybody knew this girl was under the power of spirit, evil spirits. These guys bought her, and they used her to make money. However they did, I don't know. Freak show, maybe. And it says that this girl followed Paul, verse 17, and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." Boy, that's a pretty nice statement. They're servants of the Most High God. Uh-huh. And our Lord is Most High God. and these men were declaring the way of salvation. Now, you would think then Paul would embrace this person, and you would think that Paul would embrace the movement, but you'll find that as Paul said that, as she continued to say it, Paul said in verse 18, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out from her. False spirituality has nothing to do with true spirituality. Demonic activity has nothing to do. And Paul wanted to separate it. Jesus Christ alone would get the glory. Everybody knew that this girl was under the power of an evil spirit. And remember the evil spirits one time in Luke chapter 4:34, when Jesus came, they said, we know who you are, the Holy One of God. Paul wanted to make it clear. Even if what the girl said might be true or was true, if the people would have accepted her testimony, if Paul would have accepted it, he would have validated spiritism in public display as a valid equal religion. Paul wants to make it really clear in this portion. Now, the Most High God can refer to one true God, but it also can refer to everybody's gods in their own territory, right? Now, I've said this before, and I suppose it's not as cute as I think, but the Old Testament idea was my God's bigger than your God. Each hill, each valley, each place had their gods. And if I defeat you, my God is bigger than your God. He is the Most High God. So they believed that their God were the Most High God if they defeated someone else. Philistines defeated Israel, took the ark, put it in the temple of their God. They woke up in the morning and the statue of their God was on the floor. They put it back up. The next morning, was on the floor. They said, out with the ark. See? And their reason was simple. We beat them, so our God is more important and powerful than their God. So one of the things, something is taking place in Corinth. And I'm not going to be dogmatic on it. I just don't know. But Paul wanted to make it clear. When the Holy Spirit is working in a person, when the Holy Spirit is truly there in a gift in their life, he will lead the person always in the confession that Jesus is Lord, and that is more than a mouth at your lives. There's a man on television. I have to watch out because these days it can be considered slander, but there's a well-known evangelist on TV who talks about Jesus this and Jesus that and Lord this and Lord that, and he borders on heresy about the person of Jesus Christ. He holds what we considered in the early church's heresy concerning the person of Jesus Christ and his eternal sonship. But he has many followers. So this, I think, is rather important to understand. All right, so when Paul says, the first thing he's saying is, do not be taken up by the experience, do not be taken up by the emotion, do not be taken up by the show. If the Holy Spirit is truly working, the person who says it will glorify Jesus Christ and what they say and how they live. And that's the test. So this is just the first part, but it's important. The confession of Jesus Christ. Does it ring true in their lives when they give it? Well, I believe Jesus is Lord. Does it ring true in the details of their lives? Is it backed up by action? So we have a right to test the credentials by finding out what people believe about God. So whatever was happening, Paul is saying, do not naively accept the word of those who claim to speak for God. Do not naively accept this. Now, again, there are things that are beyond our understanding. And so dogmatism here is difficult to have. So the Holy Spirit then will always lead them to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 4, he said, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I mentioned before that the word gifts is charismata, where we get the word charismatic. Paul uses it 16 times. The only other place it's used in the New Testament is Peter uses it once. But it's a word Paul uses. And he uses it in regard to the gift of salvation. Gift of salvation is a charismatic gift. It's a gift of grace. Because the word charis is grace. To say that there is such a thing as a charismatic movement, while it may be a title, it's To be strict and exact as I am, that's not a biblical term, because all gifts are charismatic. They all come from God. They all are out of His grace. None of them can be earned. That's one of the first things Paul wants to say about gifts. Somebody in this Corinthian church thought because they had showy gifts, they must have been better than somebody else to get them and put somebody else down. And Paul says they come from His grace. But notice what he says. There are different diversities or different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. Verse 6, there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. You've heard me say this before. Notice the action of the Trinity. Now, I don't want to break them down so strictly because they work together. See, but notice the whole Godhead is at work. By the way, if you read Ephesians chapter 1, you'll find in Ephesians chapter 1 the same idea in regard to salvation. Chosen by the Father, the Son dies on the cross, and the Holy Spirit takes that and makes it real to our lives. The Trinity is often in action when it comes to gifts. But the idea is this. There are diversities of gifts. All kinds of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. Not different Spirit. The same Spirit that works in everybody who has a gift. Right? Then there are different ways of ministering. No, there are different ways to service. Oh my, look at the variety of ways people serve. But it's the same Lord in charge of the body. And then, verse 6, there are diversities of activities. I mean, different kind of results. Some person speaks and it's just marvelous results. Some person's over here in the boonies of North Dakota with Village Missions working hard to see a few saved. But this verse is saying, whatever the results are, don't compare the results. It's the same God who's working in both people to bring the results. Now, you know what this does? It levels it all. It levels it all. It takes pride, self-esteem, and it takes the foolish comparison. Now, when I was a young Christian, I got caught up in this. If we really had faith, we could do what George Mueller did. If we really had faith. See? And then one day it comes to you, well, maybe I could, but, you know, maybe God doesn't want that of me. And there'll be more on that as I go along. So you see here, there are different gifts. There are different ways of serving. There are different workings or activities. But it's God who works all in all. That's the first thing they had to get. The first principle of chapter 12 is this. That no matter what your gift is, the Holy Spirit gave it. No matter how you serve, Jesus Christ, the Lord of the body, is guiding you. And no matter what your results, God has been producing these. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in our lives. That's the first principle. And it's really important. It's really important. Now we'll move on. Verse 7. He's going to now focus in on the first thing that was said in verse 4. Diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. So in verse 7, he begins to explain that. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Second principle. When the work of the Holy Spirit is given in a gift, it is given for the profit of the body for everyone. Not to build a ministry. Not to enhance my self-esteem. Not to be popular. Not to be a freelancer. Not to be a know-it-all. All gifts have been given for one particular reason, that the body of Christ grow and that all people may profit. That's the second principle. See, these principles seem so simple and basic, but, you know, you build your ministry on these. You build your way of life. What I do, I build my way of life on these. Otherwise, I would be eaten up with jealousy and envy, or I might have quit. Because you know me, I'm just a plotter. Dick Gill and I are plotters, see? That's what we are. Just plotting along, doing what we can. But I might have quit. So that's the second principle. And he moves on, and he says this. We all depend on the same God. Whether in many gifts, in many ways of serving, in many ways of results, it's God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now let's look at, as we move on, what he says in verse 8. Now, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Now next week we'll talk about the word of wisdom. But you see, Paul here isn't worried about the gifts. He'll correct that in 14. What he's concerned about is that they understand it's the same Holy Spirit working in every gift. That helps me respect you. And hopefully you respect me. See. So he says, there's given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the Spirit. Now notice he's already talking about diversity. That's the point here. Diversity, but it's the same Holy Spirit. So forget the gift right now. It's diversity. One has a word of wisdom, right? One has a word of knowledge, but it's the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another by faith, the same Spirit. Now, gift of faith, we'll talk about it. But somebody can do something extraordinary. I'm not talking about salvation. That I'll explain next week. But it said it's the same Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit working. And the Holy Spirit always, remember, says Jesus is Lord. The goal of the Holy Spirit is to honor Jesus Christ and make him Lord of all. So, verse 9. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirit. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But the one and the self-Spirit works all these things. There's his principle. Therefore, when you start looking at a person and say, boy, that person's gift is more important than his. That person's... You're wrong. You're wrong. See? Or, the gift, if you're really consecrated, the Holy Spirit will work this way. Up here, in our circles, the gift we put primary interest on is speaking. If we can speak, we're pretty sharp. In the South, if you win souls, those are the guys in the assemblies that get the credit. See? But it's the same Holy Spirit working. The same Holy Spirit working. Then I think this is so important. The emphasis is on the Holy Spirit. And notice verse 7, for all to profit. And notice verse 11, as he wills. Distributing to each individually as he wills. As he wills. Now, again, it's so basic, I almost feel foolish talking about this. But as he wills. Well, how many of us began with certain things we wanted to do and we just had to have them and we burned people out and we made mistakes and we did foolish things and then God says, you know, trust me, I have things for you. And it takes a while to learn. So the principle is simple, isn't it? There are different kinds of gifts. But it's the same Holy Spirit that gives you gift. This would take care of pride. It would take care of putting somebody else down. It would take care of the inferiority complex some people have. It would take care of the idea that my service is worthless. The issue, my friends, and this is hard, hard for young people, focus upon the person of Jesus Christ. Consecrate your life to Christ. And he will show you. See? He'll show you. Now, there's tests. You've all taken these tests at women's conferences, men's conferences. 75 questions about how to discover my spiritual gifts. I've taken those. You know what? I've enjoyed them. I've really enjoyed them. Do you like to talk to people? When people talk to you, would you like to punch them in the nose? This sort of thing. Do you like speaking the word of God? Or would you rather hide in your basement and read? You know, all these little things. And these tests are really good. But they're dangerous. The reason they're dangerous is if you say, I got my gift, and I know what my gift is. Let's go, Lloyd. You need to consecrate your life to Jesus Christ. There's danger in locking in and narrowing it. But notice simply, the prophet of all, he distributes to each one individually. No one is excluded. And in the, and as we go in the next two times I speak, next week I'll go back to the gift, and then after that I'll go to verse 12. You'll see how each one individually yet is part of a body, the body of Christ. And we are baptized in one body. So the emphasis is on the same Spirit. As he wills, I may go ahead and look at this again, but verse 13 talks about he places us into the body, and it's for the profit of all. Now, let's go to verse 5. So you see, the Holy Spirit is in every gift. That's why the charismatic movement is wrong. They're wrong in their terminology. Every one has a gift is by the Holy Spirit. The next thing he says, verse 5, is there are differences of ministry but the same Lord. Differences of ministry mean, comes from the word, ministries come from word, our word deacon, service. So he says, there are different ways to express service. There are different ways the Holy Spirit takes gifts and works through our lives to serve. Not all evangelists are alike. Not all Bible teachers are alike. Not all children workers are alike. Not all prison workers are alike. No. They're not all alike in exactly what they do. And this, I think, is rather important. So there are differences of service. But notice this. The same Lord. In other words, we have different ways of service, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is leading the body. Ducky, I'll do this. And it's very important. It takes away the strain and the stress and the jealousy. It takes away this frustration that might come. So put it this way. There are different ways of serving God, but Paul is saying the difference isn't important. Just like the difference of gift isn't important, it's the same Spirit. There are different ways of serving God, but the difference isn't important. It's the same Lord. Some guy working in village missions out in North Dakota or South Dakota and small pueblos, or Jeff Takis in Fort Benton, who will never see a whole lot of fruit. Just won't see it. See? Plods along, winning one here and winning one there. See? He's an insured planter, but plods along, all right? But the difference in his service with other church planters isn't what is important. It's the same Lord, Jesus Christ, who enables people to do the service. So that's what's important. So when you read this portion, don't focus on the gifts, but focus on the Spirit. When you see some ministries, don't focus necessarily on how they serve. Focus on the fact that the Lord is working in all of them. Service differs from person to person. It's not the same, but it's the same Lord who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So what is necessary, he does what is necessary to equip us. He'll lead us. He'll lay before us opportunities, and we are to follow that. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, then. God works in different ways in our lives. There are different kinds of service in the church. The issue is not how we do it so much. The issue isn't what kind of gift we have. Behind it all is the same Lord and the same Holy Spirit. Oh, this is so primary for young people especially. It's so important. This foundation will enable us to understand the correction of chapter 14. So, Philip translation says, verse 6, but there are differences in ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God. Diversity of activities. Outgrowth. Outcome. One of the translations says, amplified says, there are differences in workings to accomplish things. God works through different men in different ways, but it is the same God who achieves his purposes through them all. And that's a quote from the Phillips translation. So there are diversity of activities. It's the usual word for works. And the thought is this, is that it is the power of God in action in the life of an individual. The power of God in the life of the individual, working through them. So the point is this, there can be no division on the grounds of gifts. Now this is Paul's purpose overall. There can be no division on the grounds of gift, because it's the same Holy Spirit, the same Lord Jesus Christ guiding, and the same work of God bringing results. So how can there be division on the basis of gifts? There can't be. And this is the point he's making. There can be no division among men on the grounds of gifts, because it is one and the same God who provides the gifts in all their diversity and the results in all its marvel. So God works through different people. And this is important to understand. So So Paul says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, verse 11, each one individually. The key is as he wills. That's the key. Each one as he wills, for the profit of all. And the gifts were tearing up the body of Christ in Corinth. Different gifts do not point to different divine purposes. They're all the same. To honor the Lord Jesus Christ. God deals with us as individuals. And he doesn't give out his gifts indiscriminately. Now, I don't know. Here's Wauwatosa. He's got a bushel left over. When we came to Christ, just like Paul on the road to Damascus, God had a purpose for him, and Paul didn't understand that purpose at first. He had to live his life and consecrate it. But as he did, he began to know. And then he got a hunger. I press toward the mark for the prize of our calling, that I may apprehend that for which I apprehended for. I want to keep on discovering what God wants to do through me. And in other words, at the time he wrote Philippian letter, he already started many New Testament assemblies. He was already used in marvelous ways. He said, there's more. There's more. I've got to know more. I've got to understand more. And it's important for us to understand, you know, we want the gift of the Spirit. But what about the fruit of the Spirit? Don't gifts and character go together? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. Right? Service and character must go together. The Corinthians were looking at their gifts and forgetting what God wanted to do in their lives. Here's some conclusions. We need to keep the unity of the Spirit in view. We're a body, and he's in control of its purposes and goals. We're different members, but even though we're different members, behind it is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need to respect his working in others. It's so basic to the use of service. Our attitude toward other people to serve. Now, I've wanted to be more in my life. Again, I don't always tell these when I'm on the road, but I've wanted to be more. I've wanted to do more. I've tried to do some things, and they've dried up. Others have accomplished far more. And the Lord says, keep a correct attitude, that the working in other people is on the same basis as working in me or in them. It's also for the common good, right? It must build up the body. It must edify. It must not divide. But gifts divide. They divided Corinth. They were dividing Philippi. Well, chapter 3, Paul says, I beseech, and he mentions two women, that these women, he named them specifically, are of one mind in the Lord. Now, I take it that they were both involved in Child Evangelism Fellowship. And they both loved to teach kids. And they both had the same gifts. And so there was about methodology. One reason Dick and I'm pleased with this. One reason Dick Yale and I get along in Lord's service after 35 years, we have different opinions. We've learned how to focus upon what is important. We're able to keep a goal. It was a blessing in our lives when we worked together in Columbia. Now as we put this team together, the same thing. We know how to focus and let some of the other little things happen. So, this is important. It says, verse 11 says, as he wills. It's not an act of our own choice. It's not an act of our own begging. Now, I know right away you're going to 14. I know, but it says, seek the best gift. No, lay the foundation first before we get to the verse in 14. Because he doesn't contradict himself. But it's going to be months before we get there, so be patient. So, it's important, as he wills. This is important. For me, in my life, it has been this. These are personal things. As I must focus primarily on my Christian growth and character. When I was younger, I focused on the gift. Wow. Wow, Ducky. Whoa. See. And after many failures and getting up dry and speaking messages and going home and know that your heart was empty, after many times doing things and it was just mere technique, you begin to realize you have to keep growing and stay in close fellowship with Jesus Christ. The next thing for me is to be thankful for his grace shown to me to participate in his work. There was a time when I was frustrated. Lord, I wanted to do this, and I can't. Lord, why make me deaf? So few want to be missionaries. You know that's all I wanted to be is a missionary. Why do this to me? And the answers I got were not very profound. I'm leading your life, and I may have a purpose you don't know anything about. Your goal is not to be missionary. Your goal is to what? Do my will. And coming home from Columbia in an airplane with a broken heart, I'm going through this all the time. Man, this is crazy. This is nuts. Just do my will. Just do what I ask you to do. We must accept what he's given to us. I must accept what he's given to me. I must recognize what he's given to others. We do not all have to serve in the same place, in the same way, with the same results. And that also means we don't have to be a Bible teacher and do it exactly the same way. I tend to be more practical and to the point. I like that. Number 5, recognize my dependence on the body of Christ. Wow. Paul, we need the body of Christ. So Paul has stated some very basic facts. If you understand these facts, then you can build the next chapters upon this. One, no matter what kind of gifts we have from the Holy Spirit, no matter what kind of service we do, the Lord Jesus Christ is leading us. No matter what the result is, the power of God has been working. Everybody has a gift. Whatever gift you have is because of the Holy Spirit. He gives that as he wills. Not indiscriminately, capriciously, gives it for a purpose. See, some of these people, as we get on to verses 12 and on, you're going to see some people are very frustrated. I don't have that, so I'm not going to do anything. But this has helped to correct that attitude. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are so important to us, folks. But they don't just fall into our hands. Years ago, one of the Bible studies I had with Provocals, we were talking about gifts, and somebody came up and says, I don't remember the context, said, well, I've got my gift now. They had found out that what their gift is. And I, in my own smiling way, said, so what? See, and they kind of blinked at me. So what? What are you going to do? See, you're going to keep following the Lord. You're going to keep consecrating the Lord. You're going to keep building Christian character. You're going to keep consecrating your life to Jesus Christ. And as you do that, it opens up. And be content with what God gives you. Accept it. Find out what you can do. Live for the Lord. Father, thank you for the Apostle Paul and his help to the Corinthians. These problems still exist among us today, maybe not exactly the same way. We don't go to pagan temples. We didn't go there before or led astray by demonic powers. But we realize that the diversity in the church, the vast diversity of gifts and service and the results, is because behind this is the Holy Spirit, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of God. And we ask you to help us with these basic things. The gifts are for all to profit. We profit, but they're for the body of Christ. That you give as you will. Thank you, Father, for how long it takes to just rest in you and then be concerned about godliness and consecration and taking opportunities. But bless us here for the respect we need for one another. That the one who does the kids club has the Holy Spirit in his life and God working in their life. The ones who do the children work, the ones who teach Sunday school, the ones who witness to their neighbors, the ones who share their heart with somebody, the ones who listen to somebody sympathize. That's the same Spirit for the building of the body. Take away our envy, take away our competition. And help us to focus on Jesus Christ, knowing that the Holy Spirit will always prove in our lives that Jesus is Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.